Good evening and welcome to today's meeting of the Commonwealth Club of California. I'm John Milford, chair of the club's Grown-Ups Forum and your host for today. We also welcome our listening audience and we invite everyone to visit us online at commonwealthclub.org. And now it's my pleasure to introduce our distinguished speaker, Larry Jacobson. Jacobson is a recognized thought leader in the field of non-fiscal retirement planning, which is gaining popularity as a supplement to traditional financial planning. His personal coaching and award-winning online video classroom were developed by reverse engineering his own successful experience and that of his clients. Larry successfully transitioned from CEO to sailor and achieved his dream of sailing around the world. His next transition was from sailor to a six-time literary award-winning author and motivational speaker. Now, Buoy Coaching focuses on coaching programs that rethink and redefine retirement. The groundbreaking program, Sail into Retirement, which combines home study and personal coaching feedback, has quickly achieved notoriety as the gold standard in the field. A California native, circumnavigator, and adventurer, Larry Jacobson is an avid sailor with over 50,000 blue water miles under his keel. Author of the six-time award-winning memoir of his six-year circumnavigation is documented in the book, The Boy Behind the Gate. And he recently published Navigating Entrepreneurship, in which he shares his own practical experience. His latest writing, The Top Five Retirement Planning Secrets, Larry lives in the San Francisco Bay Area and welcomes new friends and inquiries at larry@buoycoaching.com. Join me in welcoming Larry Jacobson.
If I were to ask you to tell me something about yourself, say if we had just met at a cocktail party or a Commonwealth Club event, just like we just did, you know what you would say? Probably, most of you do, like we just did. You'd say, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I'm a police officer, I'm an artist, I'm an accountant, or something like that. Or you might say, I'm a retired teacher or carpenter or something like that. Two out of three of you would include your career as part of your opening statement. What if I were to ask you the same question, but this time don't include anything about your career? Do you know what you would say then? It's a little more difficult. You might struggle with that a little bit. But the question was, tell me something about yourself, not about your career, not about what you did to earn a living. What's your personality, your reason for being, your why, who you are without your career? We identify with our careers, rightly so. We spend our entire lives building them, and they become much of who we are, much of our identity. And we may not realize it always, but they provide a great deal of purpose and fulfillment in our lives. At work, we receive that purpose and fulfillment through a variety of ways. We're needed. We're valued. We're respected. At work, we share social exchanges such as advice, stories, experiences. At work, we're engaged. To put it bluntly, at work, we're somebody. What happens when that's gone? What will provide that feeling of belonging to something larger than yourself when your career identity is no more? What will be your identity without your career? When asked if you would like to retire, two out of three of you say, yes, I want to get out. To what? Do you know what you want to get into after you get out? When asked, what will you do when you retire? Most of you say, I'm going to sleep in, golf, and travel. Now, you may put yoga in for golf or something like that, but that's pretty much the same answer. And then what, though? Where does the purpose and the fulfillment come from? I know somebody in here is going, what? Purpose and fulfillment more than golf? No, but it's true. So and the ads on television ask, "What do you have enough money to retire?" Right? We've all seen those on TV. None of them ask, what are you going to do with your time when you retire? And who are you going to be when you retire, when your identity is gone? So letting go of your identity is a challenging event, to say the least. And today, you're fortunate because you're going to take away some important keys to dealing with this challenge and other challenges in redefining your retirement. One of these challenges is that losing your identity is scary. This I know from experience. I let go of my 20-year corporate career, sold my company, bought a boat, and spent the next 6 years sailing around the world. It's a logical thing to do. And I never got that corporate identity back. I was forced to reinvent myself to create a new identity for myself. And that was scary. Now, like you, I'm sure, I've been scared many times before, and you have as well. Like the time that we were caught in the exact wrong place at the wrong time in the middle of the worst storm of our lives in the middle of the Red Sea. Imagine our small boat flying off the top of a 30-foot wave, 30 feet, and just slamming down into the trough below, shaking and shuddering like a cannon. The seas were not only huge, but they were steep, steeper than I've ever seen before, and they were coming faster than I've ever seen before. I remember counting 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, and bam, we would be hit by another one. And the winds had built these seas up to this enormous state by blowing more than 55 knots for over 24 hours. It was cold. We were shivering. And it was exhausting. Just the sound from the wind was exhausting. We had been up for more than 24 hours, and I was starting to hallucinate. I was seeing brick walls in front of us, and I was hearing voices in my head, which, for those of you who know me, is not that unusual. But I was hearing new voices, new people I'd never heard before. So was I scared? Well, yeah, I was scared. I'm not sure I would use that term. I think terrified is more like it. So fear is not a stranger to me. I was afraid when we were dodging pirates in the Gulf of Aden. And these were real pirates. Johnny Depp and Walt Disney were nowhere to be found. Or the time we were chased by Komodo dragons on the remote island of Rinca in Indonesia. Two of them, 12 foot long, 4 foot around, charging at us at more than 15 miles an hour, much faster than our little legs could run in flip-flops. So I became used to living with fear on a daily basis for 6 years. But to this day, the fear that I experienced then in any of those situations paled in comparison to the fear that I experienced on a cold, crisp December morning, we sailed out beneath the Golden Gate Bridge, turned south and headed for places unknown, because that was the day that I was leaving my entire 20-year life behind me. I let go of my career, which I spent 20 years building our business to where we were recognized as the best in the industry. I let go of my income, which went from pretty good to practically nothing in a day. I let go of my security. And when I say security, I mean everything from having a car in your driveway to the local grocer knowing your name. I let go of my home. Not only my physical home, but my friends and family. I didn't know when or if I would ever see any of them again. But most of all, I let go of my identity, who I was, who I had built myself to be over 20 years as an executive with a pretty good reputation. I found myself saying to people, "Do you know who I used to be?" And no, unlike some of you may be thinking, I was not running from the law, by the way. So who was I going to be? A cruising sailor? I mean, what is a cruising sailor? If you ask anybody, they'll say, well, that's just a hobo on the water who sits around and, you know, doesn't do anything, has no responsibility, and just drinks margaritas all day long. Well, that was quite a transition to go from executive to cruising sailor. I will confess the margaritas did help. So, you know, you may not be leaving all of that behind in your retirement, but you will be leaving or have already left the biggest part of that, your identity. So as we go along today, occasionally I'm going to ask you to take just a couple of notes. And, you know, you have notes in front of you of things that we're going to go over later, but I do want you to write a couple of things down. They're going to be so short, you can write them on the back of a cocktail napkin, or you can write it on the back of the retirement wheel that's in front of you, okay? And you'll know that I want you to write something down. First of all, I want you to write it down because it then instills it into your head more. But you'll know that I want you to write something down because you'll hear this sound. Write this down, okay? So write this down. No, that's not the sound. I mean, write this down. My new identity. Who am I going to be? Who am I going to be? And I want to start with the premise today that at any age, at any time in our lives, we can become who we want to be. While transition may be difficult, haven't we all entertained the idea of reinventing ourselves, of having a chance to do things differently? Retirement is that chance. I didn't realize it then what I know now, that I was retiring. I wasn't retiring in the typical sense of the word. I wasn't going to stop and do nothing. But I was redefining retirement my own way. And besides, I had a plan. Unlike most people, I was going to sail west until I saw the Golden Gate Bridge again. That was it. That was my plan. Okay. Granted, it wasn't all that well thought out. But because of my experience of not having such a well thought through plan, that's why I'm here, to suggest that you do have a plan. And here's why. Now, this is the typical non-financial retirement plan. The television. Now, sometimes because we're talking to a live radio audience, you might see one of these go up, right? And you know what that means, don't you? Right. Okay, so that is the typical non-financial retirement plan. Does that scare anybody? Okay, yes. It scares the daylights out of me. And if that doesn't scare you, let's see if this does. Some scary retirement statistics. When you retire, you have a 40% higher chance of falling into clinical depression than when you're not retired. You have a 56% higher chance of having a stroke if you cannot tell me what your purpose in life in your retirement is. You will watch an astounding 4.5 hours of television per day, which is the equivalent of 205 8-hour days or 56% of your potential productivity time. I didn't know there was that much good television to watch. Your number one concern will be your loss of identity. Yet 70% of you have no plan for how to deal with this. And that's why you need a non-financial retirement plan, one that provides you a retirement of what you want and hopefully is filled with purpose and fulfillment. if that's what you want, you might want to write this down. Fulfillment in life is optional. Fulfillment in life is optional. You might not care about having a fulfilled life. We're used to having some sort of a plan. Our lives are pretty much scripted from birth. We go from kindergarten through elementary school to junior high to high school, maybe went to junior college or university. When you went into the corporate world, you went from supervisor to manager to director to vice president to senior vice president to executive vice president to president and then the C-suite. If you were in the military, you followed in the Army, for example, a logical progression from private to general, from rookie to chief in the police department. A predictable script of our lives. Entrepreneurs and business owners also follow a script. Build the business, golf on Saturdays, find your exit strategy, and get out. Right? But the screenplay ends there. There are no more pages. Because after you get out, you're entering a period where there's nothing written on the page. And remember what they say on Broadway, if it's not on the page, it's not on the stage. They say that in Hollywood too, but I think Broadway sounds so much better. So it's funny though how after following plans for much of our lives, we're finally given the chance to write our own script for the rest of our lives, and we freeze up and we don't do it. I have clients who are CEOs, have written multiple business plans, but can't for the life of them write their own non-financial retirement plan. Most people put more planning effort into buying their new car than they do their non-financial retirement plan. So what do people do instead? Well, that's a little bit sad. Many find joy and satisfaction just in daily life, and not having to get up and go to work every day. The daily goings on in your lives could be viewing art, scenery, travel, golf even. Maybe you feel you've already made such a big contribution in your life that you don't feel you've got to have purpose anymore. Everything doesn't have to have a purpose. You can just enjoy for enjoyment's sake. It's okay. My caution is that a steady diet of pleasures won't provide that meaning in life needed by those who've achieved a life of success. It's easy to mistake multiple pleasures for fulfillment. It's easy to mistake multiple pleasures for fulfillment. You don't want to watch television all day. You don't want to just stop and do nothing. You want to be part of something. Many people are turning to alcohol and drugs, either for the answer or for a distraction. 17% of adults over 50 misuse alcohol and prescription drugs. When I say misuse, that does not mean that they don't know how to use them, right? Okay. I know what generation I'm talking to here. Widowers over the age of 75 suffer the highest rate of alcoholism in the United States. Now, the wine that we just had before this event does not count. Okay. Illicit use of opioids for pain amongst baby boomers doubled from the year 2002 to 2011. Loneliness, depression, and boredom are all causes for turning to drugs and alcohol. And baby boomers are the first generation who are used to seeing drugs as a potential answer or distraction. So the answer to the whole big question is easy. Do something meaningful. Start a winery. Okay. So 70% of you don't have a plan for what you're going to do with your retirement. I can virtually guarantee that. But why? You have a plan for everything else in your life. You have a plan for how to get out of this room if either it's on fire or the speaker's too boring. Well, first of all, let me make you feel a little bit better. It's not your fault. We didn't know we were going to live this long. It's true. Baby boomers are living 10 to 30 years longer than the previous generation. You're given a scene in your script that has not existed before. Not only are baby boomers alive and kicking, but we're healthy and we're ready to participate and ready to do things. Most of us just don't know what to do. Now, for those out in listening radio land, we have to describe what the cartoon is here. And that is the elderly couple, and she says, "You told me you were going to spend your whole life trying to make me happy." And he says, "I didn't know I was going to live that long." So since you didn't know that you were going to live this long, you didn't know you were going to be alive, you were never told that you needed a plan other than maybe a little financial plan, you know, save a little extra money. So you were never taught how to make one. Where would you even start to make a plan? We're going to get to that. And developing a non-financial retirement plan is different than developing a financial plan. There are no right answers in a non-financial plan. And 2 and 2 does not always equal 4. And it takes work. It takes, here's that word, introspection. It's a tough one. You must ask yourself questions about who you are, where you're going, what you're going to do, why you're going to do it. And guess what? You can't just ask the questions. You have to answer the questions. So that's why you don't have a plan. So now you can go guilt-free knowing that it wasn't your fault. So a lot of people say that what I did was risky. I suppose some people might consider that. I mean, not as in dangerous risky, although every time I tell people that I sailed around the world, they say, gee, it wasn't that risky. And they mean dangerous risky. And now that I think about it, I guess it was, because there are about 1,000 ways to die out there. But I mean risky as in risking my security, which you'll remember I said is everything from having a car in your driveway to the local grocer knowing your name, or even having a BART pass, right? So it would have been easy for me to stay home with my good, secure life and let circumstances decide for me. But it was that secure life that nearly prevented me from achieving my dream. There are lots of obstacles to us achieving our dreams, no matter what age we are. And I think this becomes more intense as we get older. So now, until the question and answer period, this is the only audience participation moment. This is your chance to shout out a word. Do you know the number one obstacle that prevents us from achieving our grandest dreams? Fear. Money. Anybody else? Fear and money. Health. Inertia. Okay. These are all good answers. They're all wrong. Thank you very much for participating. The number one obstacle to achieving our grandest dreams, it's the good things we have in our lives. And we all have good things in our lives. We all have careers and incomes and security and homes, identities, kids, dogs, cats. We have yoga on Thursday nights, and we have breakfast clubs on Fridays, and we have Commonwealth clubs meetings. All reasons not to take risks. These are all good things. Why would we fear giving up the good just for the chance at something great? We fear the risk might not be worth the reward. So you might want to write this down. Good and secure gets in the way of great. Good and secure gets in the way of great. And we all know the rules. No risk, no reward, right? Usually the bigger the risk, the bigger the reward. Sometimes we take the risk, sometimes we don't. You all took a risk to come here tonight. You drove, or you took public transit. That was a risk. And upon retirement, you will be letting go of your identity. And that's a risk. You're going to risk being somebody, being who you've been for your entire life. And with a whole new chapter of life ahead of you, I hope that you'll see you get to choose how you look at that risk. I hope you'll choose to redefine retirement and that risk not as the end, but as opportunity. It's a chance for your encore. It's like a do-over. You remember when you were kids playing baseball in the street and you had do-overs? I don't know what game you played, but the ball would hit what you thought was on the line, and one team said, ah, it's in, and the other one said, it's out. And we said, ah, fine, we'll compromise. We'll have a do-over. You get a do-over, or a mulligan in your golf game, which I think is an Irish word for cheating. But and in this time, in your do-over, it's a chance for you to call the shots on your own. You get to call the shots. The problem is that most of us don't know what those shots are. And so what do? We default to resting, just waiting to see what happens. Well, here's another word of caution. We're all subject to Newton's law. A body in motion stays in motion. A body at rest stays at rest. If you plunk yourself right down in front of the television set, there's a good chance that's where you're going to stay. Now, transition always makes us feel unsure. We're not sure which way to steer. It becomes easier and easier by the day just to kind of wait and see and let things come along as they do. When you do that, when you say that to yourself, you're pretty much relinquishing control of your life. You're just letting whatever will be. You don't strike me as that kind of a group. You don't strike me as that audience that's going to just, well, whatever will be. Some people are. Some people do that. Some people are victims their entire lives. For example, what do you do when you're stuck on an escalator? Like these folks.
Whoa, that's not good.
Oh, I don't need this. I'm already late.
Somebody will come. Anybody out there?
Do you have a phone?
No. Sorry. Somebody! Hello! There are two people stuck on an escalator and we need help. Now, would somebody please do something? I don't believe this.
When I showed that to the San Francisco Fire Department and I asked them what they would do about it, they just looked at me dumbfounded. Remember what Jim Rohn, the great motivator, said. If you don't design your own life's plan, chances are you're going to be part of somebody else's. Why, though, take such a big risk? Just for the chance. The chance at making my dream come true. Why would I do that? Now, some people who know me well think it's because I'm crazy, and that's quite possible. I don't disagree. But I like to think that it's because I'm passionate. I had a very clear vision of what I wanted, and I was passionate about making that vision a reality. I first stepped foot into this tiny 11-foot styrofoam sailboat when I was 13 years old. I taught myself to sail in this boat, and I had my first long passage in it. It was across Alamitos Bay down in Long Beach, a distance of about a quarter mile. But hey, to a 13-year-old, this was a super yacht, and that was crossing an ocean a quarter mile. Didn't matter. Long passage or short, I was hooked. I had found my passion, and I was only 13. To prove that passion, I guess, this is what I was doing, because at three years later, at age 16, I sailed this small boat, a 14-foot Hobie catamaran, from Long Beach to Catalina and back. And that's the equivalent of sailing this tiny boat from San Francisco to the Farallon Islands and back. Probably not the best idea in this boat, or at age 16, or without a compass. I remember calling my mother from Catalina Island, cringing, when she answered. I said, "Hello, Mom. I'm in Catalina." And she was so cool. She just knew that sailing was my passion. She knew there was nothing she could do about it, that was my future. And here's what she said. "That's nice, dear. Does that mean you won't be home for dinner tonight?" I was hooked. I had found my passion. And that day I said, "I'm going to sail around the world, and nothing's going to stand in my way." And nothing did. When I got a little bit older than 16, I would close my eyes. I could vision, I could see myself standing at the helm of my own big cruising boat. As I got older and I closed my eyes, I could see myself sitting on a white sand beach in front of a turquoise blue bay underneath a swaying palm tree with warm trade winds blowing on my skin and sand dripping between my toes. As I sat there on the beach and I stared out at my own boat at anchor. Oh, just like the picture shows. And as I got older and I was in the office and I would close my eyes, I'd fall asleep. No, just JK. How many in here know what JK means? Right, okay, not many. JK is tech speak for just kidding. I had to learn that from my younger nephew. I didn't know that. So now he can just say JK. But as I got older and I closed my eyes, I could see myself sailing back underneath the Golden Gate Bridge after completing a circumnavigation. I could see friends and family on the bridge cheering. I could see boats coming out to greet us. I could see and hear and feel the hugs of dozens of people on the dock as I returned. I could hear champagne corks popping, and I could taste Veuve Clicquot champagne. Well, at least I had good taste. Careful what you vision. Careful what you ask for. Here we are after 6 years, more than 40,000 miles in 40 countries, sailing back underneath the Golden Gate Bridge after sailing all the way around the world. It happened exactly as I visioned it. I achieved my dream of sailing all the way around the world, proving that anybody can make their visions a reality. So write this down. What is it that you want to do next? Now, there's a reason that I just took you through all of that visioning. Did you notice the detail in my vision? The sand dripping between my toes, the warm trade winds blowing on my body. Why do you do that? Because in order to make your visions a reality, you must be able to see you in the vision. And then the fear will just melt away. So are you clear on what you want for your next chapter? I suggest you get clear on it. Because if you vision it, it'll happen. If you vision yourself sitting in front of the television set, that's exactly where you'll sit. Remember when I said, where does one even begin to write a plan? This is it. This is where we begin. We begin with a vision. You start with your vision. So after my return, I spent the next 3 years writing my memoir about the trip, The Boy Behind the Gate, which won, as John had kindly said, won 6 literary awards. What he forgot to say was that it made my mother very, very happy. Now, does it take 3 years to write a book? Well, maybe not, but I started with 2,000 pages of notes and journals and radio logs and videos to transcribe. And so it was quite an editing job. But other than writing, I was aimless when I got home. I have to admit that. I felt like a square peg trying to fit into a round hole. I had completed the Everest of sailing. My ultimate dream had come true. Now what was I supposed to do? Everything I did seemed like such a letdown. After dragons and pirates and huge storms, it takes quite a bit to get my adrenaline pumping these days. And I realized that I was going through another transition, another reinvention. And I needed to define what that one looked like. So I knew it was time to move on to something. And I knew that I had a higher calling than just making my own dreams come true. So one day a friend asked me for some business advice, and I gave it. And the advice was good. And more than that, it felt good. I got that warm, fuzzy feeling that you get when you do something good for people, when you give to others. So I began coaching entrepreneurs and executives. Now, the entrepreneurs all had the same question. Can we give you equity so that when we make it big, you'll get money? And the answer was always the same. No, thank you. But the executives also had the same question. All had the same question. What am I going to do with my time when I retire and my identity is gone? And this is how I would answer that. I said, man cannot discover new oceans unless he has the courage to lose sight of the shore. Now, for those who couldn't quite get that, I put it into more layman's terms. You can't steal second base until you take your foot off of first. And even in simpler terms, you might want to write this down. What's my encore? So I went sailing to make my own dreams come true. And yes, I did find an enormous amount of self-esteem and self-satisfaction by achieving my grandest dream. But not until after the journey's end did I discover the fulfillment and purpose that I was looking for. And it turns out it was right here inside of me all the time. For me, it comes from inspiring others to make their dreams come true, inspiring you to make your dreams come true. Now, I know that I wouldn't have discovered that if I hadn't gone on the journey. But as it turns out, I learned that you don't have to sail all the way around the world to have an adventure, to fulfill your dream or pursue your passion. Thank you very much. That was a very expensive lesson. So you don't have to be the expert in your field. If I had waited to know everything that I needed to know before to sail around the world before leaving the dock, I'd still be at the dock. You don't become an expert before in order to do a passion, to pursue your passion. You become the expert as you pursue your passion. The learning is part of the fun. It's a good thing. It's fun. I became an adventurer by default. Out at sea, you either become brave or you turn around. So I feel it's important to constantly remind ourselves not of what we cannot do, but of what we can do. You might want to write this down. Neither words nor worry affect outcome. Only action does. Neither words nor worry affect outcome. Only action does. So fear, risk, vision, passion, having a plan. It turns out there's a few more issues than we thought to this retirement thing, isn't there? And if you listen to old tapes from previous generations, you expect that when you retire, you'll fall easily into sleeping late and doing what you want when you want, traveling. It'll be so wonderful. The reality is that after a few months, you're going to be bored watching television and sleeping too much. I say that directly based on my experience from myself and my clients. If you don't like golf or gardening, what are you going to do all day? If you're a CEO, are you really going to be able to get to tending your roses easily? So now I know that in this audience, many of you are highly educated. You're healthy, you're active, you're busy, and you're certainly not bored. From my coaching experience, I also know that for those reasons, you're prone to be the least satisfied in retirement until you find your next passion. The higher the education, the higher the need to continue to have a life of meaning. You're still needed by our society. You have great knowledge, skill, and wisdom. Please don't let it go to waste. And I think this is an appropriate time to give you, I think, the best definition between knowledge and wisdom. And it was by Miles Kington, a British journalist. And he said that knowledge is knowing a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad. Or as I like to say, wisdom is knowledge all grown up. So what's the answer? What can we do about this whole redefining retirement issue? Well, here's what I'm doing about it. After my journey was over, my sailing trip, while I was reinventing myself to be a coach, going through being an author and a speaker, I documented what I went through, and I looked back at what I was experiencing in order to make that transition. I also then looked back and saw what was it that I experienced when I left the corporate world and went sailing around the world. Sure enough, the similarities were there. It's the same. So inside, a light bulb came on. If everyone is asking the same question, why isn't anybody answering it? And if everyone is going through the same struggle, why isn't anybody offering a solution? So how did I do it? What were those steps that I followed? Well, it took a year for me to reverse engineer the process I went through to retire. And then I created a system for a smooth transition into retirement. I looked at my thoughts, my emotions, my actions, and my challenges. So, Buoy Coaching was born. And not long after that, Sail Into Retirement was born. Now, why the buoy? Everybody knows what a buoy is. A buoy is a guide. And I followed them safely around the world, and they brought me home. So, now we are one. I like guiding people, and I like seeing breakthroughs, and I hate seeing wasted time. And I hate seeing wasted lives. So I specialize in non-financial retirement coaching. Now, there aren't many of us, because it's fairly new, as John had pointed out. But with 10,000 new retirees every single day, today and for the next 15 years, just in this country alone, you're not alone if you're going through this transition. Boy, this is the coaching that I wished I had had. I looked for a role model. Where was it? Who's done this? What can I model, follow? And there wasn't anything. I mean, I would have paid for it. Now there's no need to pay a great deal for it, and it's right here. You don't have to go through it alone. So, you know, I tell you my story to inspire. To inspire you. But it's not my story that's important, is it? It's your story. So I think we should talk about you and your encore. Now, you most likely don't dream of sailing all the way around the world, probably because you're not crazy like I am. But you do dream of doing something else. And I don't care how old you are, young, old, retired, or not retired. If you dream it, if you vision it, you can make it happen. So your encore doesn't have to be sailing around the world. It doesn't have to be becoming the CEO of the next great dot-com company. You can derive fulfillment and purpose from a lot of different parts of your life. And it could be something related to or unrelated to your past career. You maybe are already retired and you have a busy life. You just want to have maybe look for something new. Or maybe you want a complete do-over. Like a good captain does as he's crossing an ocean, constantly look at your course, fine-tune it, add, subtract, make changes. If you don't like something, change the direction. We get to do whatever we want. So, I'd like to do a quick exercise with you. It's not going to take very long. You remember the visioning of my sailing trip? Okay, it's time to work. So, we're going to help you find your encore. Because again, mind's not important. So it's best to do this exercise with your eyes closed. The problem with that is twofold. One is I risk you falling asleep, and I don't want to take that risk. And two, it's hard to write with your eyes closed. Okay? If you're driving and you're listening to this, please pull over before you do this exercise. So we're going to ask five questions, and this is a rapid response. All you want to do is just write down, it could be one word, it could be a short phrase, it could be two words. And it's going to go real quick. I'm going to give you 5 seconds for each answer. I do not want to know what the answers are. Your neighbors don't want to know what the answers are. You want to know what the answers are. Are you ready? Are you ready? Okay, we're okay. We didn't want to risk your sleep there for a second. All right, so the first question is, what makes your heart flutter? You know, the excitement butterflies that make you jump out of bed in the morning without a cup of coffee. I don't see you writing. 5 seconds, 4, 3, 2, 1. Next question. There's a reason for this. You're going to want to answer these questions. First one was, what makes your heart flutter? Second one, what would you do if you knew you could not fail? What would you do if you knew you could not fail? Did I say that right? What would you do if you knew you could not fail? The third one, what makes you smile, laugh, and the ultimate, what makes you sing? The fourth question is, what do you or did you like the most about your past or your current career, your work? And the last question for now is, what one skill or piece of knowledge do you have that you would like to pass on to the next generation? Now, your answer should give you some sort of an indicator of your passion. You're looking for patterns and repetitions, words that come up again, and you take those answers, and it's easy. You simply plug them into the formula, and you find your encore, and you're done. Okay, I got to go. Okay, no, it's not quite that easy, but it's close, because what you're going to come up with out of those questions could very well be your passion or your encore, and here's the formula. And I purposefully am making it so that you have to write the formula down so it goes into your head. So here's a formula to find your encore. You simply take your vision, which is what you want. Your vision is what you want. Your vision is what you want. You add that to your passions. Your passions are what you like. Add that to your skills, knowledge, and wisdom. And that's what you have. Presto, you've got your encore. Now, it may not be quite as simple as that. And the missing link might be here before you, that we only asked you 5 questions to get to your passion and your vision. If you want to have a real passion quiz, take a real passion test, it's free. Just go to my website. It's right there as a resource for you, under resources at Bowie Coaching. And there's about 30 questions in the passion quiz there. And that will help you truly find your passion, which you can then plug in to the formula. In the Sail Into Retirement program, we go into great depths into this, the first lesson of visioning and finding your passion, because it is that important. If you vision it, you can make it happen. So, as you know, it's easy to get so focused on one thing that you let everything else go. And whatever it is that you're going to do as your encore, it should be part of a balanced life. So let's take just a couple of minutes now to look at balancing your life. John, how are we doing on time?
Pretty good. Look at your screen.
Look at my screen. Oh, well, I was thinking that you were going to fill those in for us here. Okay, we're looking back at the formula. Your vision, which is what you want, plus your passions, which are what you like, and your skills, knowledge, and wisdom equal your encore. Thank you for that. Okay. How many of you would love it if I put that up on my website? Ooh. Yeah, okay. So we'll have to talk to the web people about that. All right. So have a look at what's in front of you or what you're writing on the back of. It's called your retirement wheel. You see the retirement wheel? This is a little invention of ours that is designed to get you balanced. This is based on the wheel of life, which is having a balanced life. And these are the items that I believe lead you to a balanced retirement. So is everybody through with this slide for the formula? Got that? All right. So Let's have a look at the retirement wheel. Okay, so what you do is you look at the retirement wheel. By the way, for those who are listening at home, the retirement wheel is available under resources at Bowie Coaching for free. And it's Bowie Coaching, B-U-O-Y, right? And you can print it out. If you want another one for your spouse or your partner or a friend, fine, just go there and print them out. So what you do is you go to the different spokes of the wheels, and you mark 1 through 5, how you're doing or how you think you're going to be doing in your retirement. And once you've marked, let's say you've marked at 4 here, and 4 and 4, you're doing a pretty balanced wheel, and then you get to finances, and if you're broke, then it goes in here. How is that wheel going to turn? How is it going to rotate smoothly? And the goal is to make it a very balanced wheel so that it turns smoothly. Now, most people look at this and see painfully clearly what the problems are. Well, then why don't they just fix them? That's easy. Okay, that's what I told you what to do. Just fix your problems. Well, that's not that easy, is it? So it takes 3 things to retire, really. It takes something to retire from, say a profession. It takes something to retire to, such as a joy or a passion. And it usually takes someone to nag you to get off your duff to do it. And I'm the nag. I'm that person who helps you identify what the problem is and how to fix it. So as you're going through around the wheels, sharing, mentoring, recreation, health, finance, travel, exploring and learning, relationships, work, and social family, do some thinking there as to how can you improve each of those spokes of your wheel. We don't have enough time to go through through them in detail, but I think you'll be able to do a lot of that on your own. A successful retirement has a lot to do with attitude. And the attitude that I'm talking about is this one, which was Maurice Chevalier, and he said, you don't stop laughing because you get old because you stop laughing. So my goal is for you to transition into a retirement of fulfillment and purpose, one where you laugh a lot, right? Okay, good. You have enough to get started today. You have your retirement wheel. Take it home, work on it. Print out a new one. Redo it. Okay? Go back to your notes that you took here, the formula, and rework those. Rework the formula. Put in new words. And now everybody who's put their name in here, I'm going to send you a copy of my new ebook. If you've not put your name in, Lori will come around and collect those from you. And we're going to do a drawing right now for a copy of my book, The Boy Behind the Gate. For most of you, that will be enough. That's probably all you need to get started. You really don't need much more. I've just pointed out the big picture here. For those of you who, if you think you do need more help, this is going to help, the ebook, Top 5 Retirement Planning Secrets. And also, on my website, there's a place for you to go to my calendar and book a 30-minute strategy session with me, and it's free. There's no selling or upselling or anything. I just want to be able to help you because it feels better to give. And so if you go to my website and go to the under chart your course, you will find a place to book my calendar, and I'm going to do that for 10 people in here. So just the first 10 who go to my calendar and book a strategy session, off you go. I'll call you, and we'll talk for 30 minutes, and we won't just talk about the weather, I promise. Okay? So now, because it's more fun to give than receive, I would like to have a little drawing. John's going to take a drawing out of that. And then I'm going to take a – do I have time for a couple of questions, John?
Of course.
Okay. So we're going to do one drawing here for a copy of The Boy Behind the Gate.
All right. We'd like to remind our listening audience this is a program with the Commonwealth Club of California, and you're listening to Larry Jacobson. author of The Boy Behind the Gate. And are we ready?
Ready. Who's going to drop?
Do you have a question?
Shall I?
John. Okay, I'm mixing them up.
I would tell you I'm disinterested, but I'm not. It's really quite an interesting topic. Here's our winner.
The winner of the book is... Lori Ryan.
No, really? That's not mine. Oh, it is.
Congratulations,
oh,
Lori.
Thank you. I totally read
Larry, draw another one.
I know.
Now, you get that, too. You can do two books.
Yes. The next one is... Michelle Hennessy.
All right.
Congratulations.
Okay.
I'll see you afterwards. Okay, great. So...
Okay, go ahead. All right. Can we go to questions?
That's what I was going
to
do.
All right. Reached a point where we're ready for questions. I know there are questions, and... We'd like to pass the mic so that your question can be heard in your voice. So if you have a question, please raise your hand, and we'll pass the mic.
There's,
okay?
Yeah. Well, congratulations. That's the first word I want to say. Yeah, congratulations. You did a fantastic transition to retirement. I didn't hear anything about your partner or anything. Is there any partner to this, or...? Right. Wife, children. I mean, what?
I'm single and available.
You've been all the time, or I mean, it's just.
That's enough, Steve.
I recommend that you read that entire story in the book.
Could you explain some of the things on the your retirement wheel? So particularly share mentor, how social family is different than relationships, and why work is there if we're talking about our post-careers.
Certainly. The question was, can I describe a few things more about the retirement wheel? Under sharing and mentoring, what I mean there is you have all this knowledge and wisdom. How are you going to pass it on? So you can teach. You can teach day school or night school. You can give talks. You can write. You can blog. You can put up something on Amazon, you know, a report or something like that. And the next category you wanted to know was about work.
Like, why is it there?
Why is work there? Okay. It's really important why work is there. And the reason – I believe that work provides an enormous amount of fulfillment and purpose for us. As I said in the beginning of the talk, it's where we are engaged with others. It's where we have a lot of our social events, our social connections are through work. And we don't just work for money, especially when we get to be our age. If we have money to live on, well, then maybe we don't need to work for money. But we work for other reasons. We work to pass our knowledge on. We work to influence others. We work to give back to society that has given us so much. We work to improve our society. And work can be for money or it can be for volunteer. Work can be for multiple. You can work for a part-time for one place, part-time for something else, volunteer at your house of worship. I mean, there's all kinds of things that you can do. So when I say work, that's what I mean is that all-encompassing. I think it's critical. The people who I work with, 9 out of 10 would be lost if they didn't have something to do with respect to work. That doesn't mean if you worked in a factory your whole life, maybe you don't want to work in a factory anymore. I understand that. And I would recommend that you don't. But there's something else that we can find that you can do for your encore. So I think work is really critical. Was there another category?
How relationships is different than social family.
Yes, relationships is different from social and family because relationships is your partner, is your spouse, is your significant other or someone that you just met newly, but is more like a one person. And the reason I bring that up in relationships is when you retire – let's say you retire and there's somebody else at home who's been at home. Maybe they're excited to have you at home all day. Maybe they're not. And I think it's important to communicate more than ever when you retire with that person to determine, are you on the same path? Are you on the same course? Or are you going different directions? Can we stay together and go different directions? Or can we stay together and maybe go the same direction? Can we combine our desires into one? You know, because all I can think about is sailing, I think about this. If I wanted to go sailing around the world and maybe my partner didn't want to go sailing because maybe he got seasick, well, maybe we should just do a cruise down a calm river in Europe. Then I get to be on the boat and nobody's getting seasick. It's a compromise, perhaps. And social, let's see what you had. Oh, the social is staying social. Staying social, when you leave your work, when you leave your career, you notice there's a dramatic drop in your social life. Dramatic. And I believe it's important to stay social, to join a club, to join groups, to volunteer, to work, unless you want to become one of those people who thinks that wearing a purple velour tracksuit is the dressiest thing you ever want to have, you know, and you become an expert at Wheel of Fortune and have hair grown out of your ears and your nose. But, you know, I think it's really important to make an extra effort for social interaction. Does that answer your question? Okay.
I have a question.
You may disagree. Okay.
In your experience, are men and women different in terms of how they approach retirement, with particularly women in our generation being first to really have careers?
Are men and women different as far as retirement or coaching in retirement? Okay, so everybody know you've heard the saying that, you know, real men don't ask for directions, right? Now that's crazy, but men, I would suggest, have more work to do to being open to being coached. Was that subtle? Was that polite? All right, good. I think that men need coaching as much as women do. I think women are more open to being coached. I think that from my experience, women are not so easy to give up and sit and do nothing. Women are, maybe it's because this is the first generation, we are the first generation who indeed are out there doing things. I think for that reason, there's a desire to keep doing more on the part of women. Yes?
It seems to me that the hardest part of this assignment is to figure out your passion. I am a very lucky person who's been able to live their passion most of my life, and I've been a foreign journalist living everywhere I wanted to live, etc.
Well done.
So I'm sort of in the same situation as you were when you came back under the Golden Gate Bridge and you lived your passion, and now what's encore after that?
Right.
You mentioned there's this quiz, but I have an impression that your own experience was more trying different things to find a passion rather than just filling out a quiz. What was your experience?
You're right. My experience is in trying different things and discovering that that wasn't it, and then the next thing wasn't it. And, you know, I went from being – I was going to be the great author, and I was going to be as rich as Tom Clancy, and then I was going to be the great speaker, and I would be the next Tony Robbins. And, you know, one thing led to another and to another, and I'm still not sure that I'm there. And that's the beauty of it. You don't have to be. It doesn't have to be just one thing, right? You can do multiple elements. I lie awake at night. I was telling John Milford earlier, I lie awake at night coming up with new business ideas on how to help seniors. That's my nighttime passion, right? And my daytime passion is coaching. So, yes, you don't have to do just one thing. Keep trying new things. And that's okay. I think one of the biggest things that I have to say to clients is, it's okay if you're still trying something new. Why not? We're here to learn, right? We're just taking another class. But be eager. Be open and eager and to join something new.
Larry, our time is almost gone, okay. But I think we have time for one more question.
Okay, one more question.
I guess I've got the mic.
I will stay later. Okay. And if you didn't win a copy of my book, it's okay. I have more here. And Elena.
Thank you so much, Larry, for a wonderful presentation. I've really appreciated it. I want to go back to the question about if women are different. And as you and I have talked about, we are the first generation of women in the history of the world who will spend more years on the other side of child rearing, if that's what we did, than we spent raising children. And there are unique challenges for women when we've worked outside of home, but one of our big focuses has been home and family. So I think for me, the question that I asked myself was, what were my passions before I married young and had children young and then had a career and then did all of the rest of this? And is it possible for me to carve out time to be something other than a mother, a grandmother, a wife, a partner, everything else? And that was, I think that is distinctly different from some of the approaches that men take. Anyway.
Well, I think that's a good point, and that is to look back and to see what it is you really enjoyed doing when you were younger and what is it that you want to do. Now, that may be adjusted. You know, I have clients who are CEOs, and you wouldn't believe the things that they want to do that are so different from what their current life is. So if that's it, I'm just going to wrap up with just a couple of reminder questions for you. And that is, and it goes on the same, what you're talking about. And that is, when you're on your last breaths, what is it you'll say you're glad you did? Or what is it you'll say you wish you had done? And why aren't you doing that? Because now's the time. You have now the time to fail. You have the time to do it wrong. It's okay. Try something new. It doesn't matter. Be like a kid in a candy store. Take an astrology class or an astronomy class. Who cares? People call you crazy. So what? Right? Do what you want to do. So your retirement should be one of opportunity, right? As I said, it's your chance for a do-over. So find your passion. Cross your ocean. Do whatever it takes to make you happiest in this life. For as far as I can tell, this is it. This is all we get. So get up and put your sailing boots on and get out of here. Thank you.
All right. Our thanks to Larry Jacobson, author of The Boy Behind the Gate, for his remarks here tonight. Also thank our audience here and those in the listening to the recording. And now this meeting of the Commonwealth Club of California commemorating that 114th year of enlightened discussion is adjourned.